Do you know a veterinary professional who goes above and beyond? Whether it's a veterinarian, technician, practice manager, or rising star, now's the time to recognize their impact. Nominations for the 5th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards are open through April 30th. Help celebrate the individuals making a difference in veterinary medicine. Submit your nomination today at dvm360.com. Let's honor the heroes among us.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We talk about continuing education a lot. It's what we do here at our conferences for Fetch, for instance. But do we talk enough about it specifically for our CSRs and evidence-based continuing education like everyone else in veterinary medicine? And I can't think of a better person to have this conversation with than our wonderful friend and colleague, Dr. Jill Clark. How are you, my friend?
Oh, fantastic when I'm with you.
I feel like before we hit the records of listeners, we could chat forever, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, we have to do this. We have so much to share with our audience about this, which is excellent. And I want them to share your passion for CSR. So a little information about our wonderful friend and colleague. Veterinary medicine was a second career for Dr. Jill, who had a successful 17-year career as an assistant director in film and television production that followed her early start in the profession as a child actor. And looking for that change, she was accepted to veterinary school and graduated from Oklahoma State University. And she's practiced medicine and multi-doctor practices and medical director. And she's grown that facility. She's grown to, oh my gosh, let me practice for 10 years before joining a group of 8 hospitals that grew to 80 national pet care centers at the time, which eventually taken on the vice president of operations role. And she served 12 years with BCA in hospital management and 22 general and specialty practices and vice president at BCA home office in LA and overseeing multiple areas in that. And then she founded Ignite Veterinary Solutions in 2016. With the singular goal of elevating the role-specific knowledge and capabilities of veterinary teams and enhancing that, Jill and her co-author, Christy Fisher, CBT, created the Veterinary Receptionist Certificate of Excellence, which has made material differences in the lives of more than 5,000 CSRs and growing. And her passion, get a load of this is where we're going, everyone, for elevating CSRs to a new level led to her to create a nonprofit, North American Association of Veterinary Receptionists, known as NAVR, in 2024 with Debbie Boone and Rhonda Bell. If you're listening, Debbie and Rhonda, hey! This association advocates for CSRs and normalizing and creating continuing CSR education tracks at state and national conferences and providing tools necessary for them to thrive in their role. So her nearly 30-year career in veterinary medicine has been dedicated to constantly improving veterinary outcomes and operations, and it's created many opportunities for professional growth of individuals and people in the profession. So great job, my friend.
Yeah, it sounds made up.
It really, no. Yeah, and you're only 21, you know?
I know, I'm so young. How could that be?
Time go, right? We got to give a shout out, by the way, to our wonderful friend and her husband, fellow veterinarian, Dr. Bob Murtock. Mert,
we Yay. Love you. Yes, absolutely.
Right. We have to give her a shout out. Okay. So, you know, you're so passionate about CSRs and advancing this particular role in the practice. How did this come about?
Well, you can kind of tell by that introduction, I've become an evangelist for CSRs. And I've always respected the role, and maybe like you or others, you know, filled in at the front desk when I was going through vet school, or, you know, even as a veterinarian, you know, typically would pick up the calls when needed and all. But I really didn't have a deep understanding of the predicament that CSRs are put in until I did this big study for VCA. We took 1,200 CSRs that were like the cream of the crop, and I was able to listen to phone calls. They had recorded those in an effort to make a training program that we were planning to do. And quite honestly, Adam, I went home crying like every night. And the reason was that it just hit me like a rock that we put them in a position where they have to ask a million questions that sometimes they don't even know what the answer, what to do with the answers to those questions. And they're put between sometimes the medical team and the client in people's competing needs. And it was heartbreaking to see them struggle in these calls on something that we would assume would be quite easy. And so it was, yeah, that was really one of the pieces of the genesis to starting Ignite and the Veterinary Reception Certificate of Excellence, because with the 5,000 plus students we have in that, just that one program, that doesn't include other Ignite stuff, I'm just hearing over and over and over that they want to stay in this role. They want to be great in this role, but they're not going to do it if they don't have some sort of education and learn how to do their job to the best of their abilities. It's just not fair. And they're also, think about it, they're also doing these financial conversations that would be difficult for any one of us. And yet, you know, no training goes with that or education goes with that. So that's kind of how this all got. And now I'm just on a tangent about that, but on a roll with doing everything possible to start a revolution for CSRs so that they can become the best they can be. And it's going to help the practices.
It is going to help the practice. I mean, they really are the nucleus to the practice, and the front end, as we all know, so important to that. And I love that we're talking about education, because we often get confused. I want to say, maybe it's the medical directors or owners. Sometimes they're like, oh, they have training. But there's a difference between training and continuing education. So don't we already train CSRs?
I think training has kind of a punitive connotation to it. If you think about it, you're like, gosh, Adam didn't do very well. I'm going to get you some training, Adam, and make you better, that thing that you didn't do well. When we look at continuing education, though, we're really looking at, I'm going to continue to learn and evolve in my role and make it for the betterment of not only myself, but the practice. Think about the impacts of what happens with fetch. I mean, you've got doctors and technicians and practice managers that go to that, and they're energized. They learn new techniques. They bring those back. They help better the practice. And it's not just something they didn't do well. It's something that they're interested in, or something they can become passionate about. And that's what I just want to flip that a little bit. Are there moments when people need training? Absolutely. But I think we're to the point now where we need to start thinking about what's next for our CSRs. Once they are trained, what is the next thing to help them to have that same passion and progress in their role?
You know, I was so honored to witness the first NAVR, you know, in-person education that happened in Kansas City. And to the listeners tuning in, I mean, it was a full room. You packed the room, and it's hard to describe. I mean, there's such great words I want to describe. It was palpable joy, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Like, they felt seen, they felt heard. Yes. And you built this community, you and your team, Jill. I've never seen anything like it for CSRs, that they were exchanging, you know, each other's Instagram handles and phone numbers. Mm-hmm. And you did that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's more than just the continuing education that you're building. You're building this community.
Community and advocacy, you know. I think that Fetch conference was so important, and I can't thank you enough, because that's really where we kicked off NAVR. And in full transparency, I sat there in that room thinking there was going to be like three people show up, because you know how people come in, right. They come in, I'm like, oh dear Lord, it's going to be, we're going to have five folks there. And then it was more and more, and then they were out the hall, and then they were down the hall, and yes. it was so amazing. But you're exactly right, is these folks have been the orphans of education. At no fault of their own, but I think our fault as leaders in the veterinary space. And they haven't had a community necessarily, maybe a Facebook page or such, but there hasn't been true community like what we enjoy in other roles, where we can go to a conference, you know, exchange ideas, feel empowered, told that we're important. And a story that Debbie Boone tells all the time and came to light there too is, you know, she went one time to a practice to do some work, and the CSR came up afterwards and said, this is the very first time I've ever been told I was important. And when I was when we were in Fetch with you, there were folks that came up and they said, I didn't feel like I was important enough to come. I was afraid to ask my practice if I could do this, because I didn't know if I was worth that. But now that I'm here, I feel like I could go back and ask for more. And it brings you to tears that we have a group of people that work so hard for us day in and day out with very little instruction sometimes on what they're expected to do. And we don't give them the thank yous and the attaboys and what they need to realize the importance of their role, because I don't know a practice that can survive without them.
Right. Without a doubt. No. And I alluded to this earlier when we were talking about evidence-based education. Can you share with us a little bit about what that means and why does that matter?
This is another soapbox for me, so please stop me if we just start running into like an hour-long session. But and this is really one of the reasons I founded Ignite, and it's when I was at VCA, I think one of the most beautiful gifts that Bob Antonin, and Bob Antonin was a president and CEO at the time, gave me was that I didn't really think it was a gift at the time, quite the contrary, but is that he mandated that I measure the success or failure of every single education object that we created for that department. So I oversaw the knowledge and learning department for VCA, and he said, "That's great, but you every single thing you do has to show some results." And it was brilliant because we so rarely in veterinary medicine do that. You know, take this, follow up with people afterwards, make them demonstrate something instead of taking a test, whatever that may be. So I thought it was a really incredible gift and carried it through and kept studying and researching neuroscience and everything else as Ignite was formed. And evidence-based learning is measuring the results of your learning. So instead of a certificate you get because you listened to something, or you took a test and you just got amazing short-term memory, you're really tested in ways that prove that you've learned the concept. One of my favorite things is observation checklists, Adam. So we have in all of our Ignite stuff and VRC, you know, any program, anything that we do, we make people demonstrate a skill three times in their work environment so that we know that that's actually been accomplished. So, you know, I can take a test or whatnot, or I can say I can put in an IV catheter just fine. But if I can demonstrate it successfully three times, there's a pretty good chance that behavior change is going to follow that if I had a, you know, had something that was trying to improve on that. So, and then surveys pre and post learning. We want, did it work or did it not? Did they already know this ahead of time? Then we can't really pat ourselves on the back for that in our e-learning life that I live. And then measuring things. So with VRCE, we're pretty lucky because we can measure pre and post, like wait times, appointment capture, some of these things that we teach, we're able to get some data pre and post, which has been really helpful for us. And that's what I'm talking about is I think, you know, I call it evidence-based student-centric. And you do a great job of that with what you do too, is have a feedback loop. Let's let people tell you what they like, didn't learn that. That was too difficult. I'm stalling out here. I don't understand this concept. And when you see trends, you change that. And you know, for us, we have all kinds of feedback loops for our students. So I think it's just, I like the idea of making sure our learning is working. And we have to do that, especially, I think, as I mentioned on e-learning, because, you know, in all industries, across all industries, the completions on e-learning is low, and we've been able to beat that considerably. I'll mention that we're four times higher completion rates than e-learning programs of any industry across all industries in the US. And it's because of we just keep getting data and keep trying to figure out how to make it better.
Yeah, that's remarkable. And kind of elaborate a little bit more on that data. That what data trends has Ignite seen in the results that you're collecting on your veterinary receptionist certificate of excellence or the VRCE students?
Yeah, we've so one of the big ones I think for practices is that we've seen an 80% of graduates staying in their hospital up to 1 year after they've had the training.
Wow.
So it just bombs the theory that we all hear, and you hear it, I'm sure as well, is, oh, if I invest in training, they're just going to leave me and go someplace else. And if you don't train them, they're going to leave you and go someplace else, right?
Right.
So invest in fetches, invest in whatever it may be, Ignite VRC, whatever you invest in, done properly, is going to keep people with you, not drive them away. We do NPS scores, and we're at 80, which, you know, I think 73 is Starbucks and some of those guys. So people have said, yes, I would recommend this to others. So we're really proud of that. And then we let our students rate every single course they take, and they can do that with stars, and they're at 4.95 on BRCE. So, you know, if we're giving them education that they don't like, they're going to tell me in their star ratings that this wasn't worthwhile, didn't like it, didn't understand it, whatever it is. And so we welcome that. And we also have a way for them to fill in pretext too about what they'd like to change or whatnot. And you don't change it for one person, but you do change it when you see trends.
Yeah. I love that you're listening to the audience. You know, sometimes we just don't listen very well with continuing education or whatever. I mean, it's what we do all the time, obviously, to figure it out. But sometimes you just don't. You just keep doing, this is what you think they need, but you don't know until they don't tell you. They tell you otherwise, and they give you some feedback to say, hey, you know, this isn't working. This course was okay. It could have been improved by doing X, Y, and Z. So it's nice that you really, you know, get them. And they also have that buy-in too. They feel, right, that's so important for them.
And especially with CSRs, because we're kind of blazing new territory. I mean, they don't have a lot of other continuing education. So we're trying to do a lot of data and do our research so that we know, is this really hitting home with you? Because there's a lot of evidence on what veterinarians learn and what's available for technicians that's race approved. But there is no body like that for these guys. So we're really trying to make sure we completely understand their role and where they need our help. And that's been a fun journey too.
Yeah, it really is. And what is your ultimate end goal for CSR continuing education?
World domination for CSRs.
Yes.
small goal, but really, I just want to normalize it. I want to have a NAVRS. NAVR really is intended to be an organization that is created, and it's been created by us. But be turned over to CSRs as promptly as we possibly can. I want to make sure that it is owned, run, managed by CSRs in the next 24 months, if not sooner. And we've already created a president's advisory council on that that's working towards that. And that primary goal is to make sure that CSR in continuing education is normalized. So what you guys are doing is awesome, because you're saying, yeah, we're going to offer tracks for these folks wherever we're going to meet them where they are and have it like we will have it for anyone else. And so if we can continue to have that become the norm in veterinary medicine, then I think we're going to see this role move from answering phones and doing, you know, picking up poop in the lobby to being the gurus of client experience, managing that entire thing from marketing and what we do out on the internet, all the way through to the client getting a call back at the end and rebooking, and many other things that they're absolutely capable of that our practice managers who are fighting fires aren't necessarily, they just don't have the bandwidth for it. So let's elevate this role and make it something it's never been before. And we're going to do that through continuing education, basically.
I was sharing with Dr. Clark before we recorded that I was at a hospital and I overheard a CSR talking to a client about a possible parvo suspect, and her education on that phone was spot on. Like, it was chef's kiss when I heard her. And I said to her, I said, where did you get your education from? She goes, I sit on webinars too. I like to attend, you know, courses. And she says, because it's more than just answering the phones. It's really, you know, I want to be part of the treatment process. And she feels like she is. And it really warmed my heart to hear that she doesn't feel like she's on the outside. She's not, what did she say? She says she's a participant, not a spectator. And I really love that, you know? And so it was really so proud of her to know that. And and the doctors empower her. She has her autonomy to make those decisions, which is great. And if she doesn't know something, you know, she says, let me find out for you. But I just really love that. And I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot more of that through what you're providing with those CSRs.
I hope so. Yeah, this is a smart group of people. Some of these are second career folks, as you know, and some are, this is the first and only place they want to be. And they don't need to be, you know, patronized by us about what they should or shouldn't learn or do. I mean, I think we need to make it, you do what you want to do and go as far as you want to go. And there's plenty of people that would want to be at the front desk and be client experience folks and never want to go be a technician or a veterinarian, which is something, a misnomer that I think I had when I was practicing, was everybody's trying to get to become a veterinarian. That's not the case.
Yeah.
And the day I learned that, the better boss I became, right? It just was like, duh, you know, but we do need to advocate for them and empower them, and we need to make sure that they know how to have crucial conversations with their employers and ask for, you know, what they want to do. And I, and certainly employers would be thrilled to have somebody come up to them and say, hey, I would just love to start a client experience journey map, and we're going to take it, take it apart from where our clients come first, come to hear about us all the way through to the end. And is that something I could do? And I can't think of a single practice owner or manager that would say, yeah, no, yes. You know, because it's only going to benefit all of us in Absolutely. The profession.
When I first started practicing, before I went into full practice, the owners had me work as a receptionist for 1 week. And then I was a technician for 1 week. And I thought that was absolutely incredible because, one, you get in respect for what they do, you know, and then also it's cross-training too. When those phones are ringing and I'm in the back too, I can easily pick up the phone and say, thank you for choosing ABC Animal Hospital. This is Adam. You know, what's the worst? They're like, oh my God, is this Dr. Christman? Yeah, what can I do for you? No big deal, you know? And I really encourage the listeners to really lean in on that too. And one other thing that really grinds my gears, this is a pet peeve that just I heard happen. And when the doctors go into they start their shift in the back. They don't go through the front in the receptionist area, the waiting room area. And there's a big difference. I forget the study that came out, but you're more likely to have a retained client when they actually see you walk in. And they're not going to grab you and say, oh my God, look at my door. It's just like saying hello. And the CSRs feel more empowered to be like, oh, thanks for being here. Again, just part of the team. I don't know. I just felt like sharing that because I think it's important that we're visible on all aspects of the team.
Well, it's kind of like I was on a flight the other day out to California, and the pilot got out of the cockpit while we were on the ground. Nice. and came out and was like, hey guys, thank you for flying with us. And, you know, we're going to have clear skies through here. It might be a little bumpy here, but I'll let you know about all that. And I just can't thank you enough for your business, and walked on. Nobody attacked him, pulled him out. But man, my flight, I've had the confidence I had, and they're like, man, I love this. I love this airline. And I think that's what you're talking about is I'm not afraid of you. I'm actually going to interact with you. And, I don't expect that you're going to take my time away, but I want you to know I appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. We're human. We're personable. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all pet parents is how I look at it.
We're all pet parents. And back to my CSR piece. I mean, think about how long we spend as veterinarians in the exam room and how long a client sits in the lobby. And they are vastly different amount of time. And so those people can make or break anything that we do as veterinarians. And we just need to be more aware of that and understand that that role has power to it to bond our clients in every bit of way as our techs or doctors can.
Yes. I've had a rough go the past few months to the listeners. I've been in doctor's offices more than I ever wanted to or thought I would be in. And it's interesting, the receptionists, I'm not to diss them, but they didn't make me feel comfortable, let's just say. And, you know, many of us come in with our pets. We have a little fear, anxiety, and stress ourselves because of the unknown of not knowing. And when I go into practices, I always, always see the CSRs saying, is there anything I can get you? I know there'll be a doctor with you one moment. They're sitting next to them. They're talking and sharing stories, whatever it might be. They're reading the room. They understand, of course, but they know. But the fact that they're not being, did they forget about me or, you know, they're just being ignored. It never happens in vet med. And I said to myself, I'd rather go to the vet hospital to be seen.
Yeah, I think I think that that's a transactional relationship that sometimes we feel in human medicine. And it's something that we've been blessed to stay away from. And, you know, we teach a lot of empathy, that's kind of a topic. That's one of the ones I did for you in Kansas City, but it's just, we have empathy still and we need to hang on to it.
Yes. If you get a chance, the listeners, to hear Dr. Clark's lecture on empathy, please do so. I mean, this is the lecture where it was pouring out of the room. We couldn't get everybody in. It was really, really well done. I heard just a little bit of it, but it was fantastic. So hopefully you can get to give that at other areas as well. But it's a great lecture. So keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for carrying on this message. I appreciate our time together today.
Absolutely. So where can we learn more about NAVR?
Oh, NAVR. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we're still a baby organization, trying to get our feet on the ground, doing all the nuts and bolts, the website, the membership side of the platform, and really now we're sinking our teeth into value. You know, what could be some short wins that we can do to make sure that those CSRs have what they need. And so I'm really excited. In the next 2 months, we're going to be able to open up a new website that's going to have a lot of different features to it, and I think really start to show people why Navert was created. And, you know, we're doing it on a shoestring, and it's a like I said, a baby startup, but it's, and thanks everybody for being patient with us, but we're finally getting to the meat and potatoes where we can show the advocacy piece, the tips, the tricks, all the different things that will be specific to CSRs to help them get through their day and beyond.
Excellent. And what about Ignite?
Ignite is ignited. I don't know. You know, it's Ignite's doing really well, and it's we have a new division, which is Ignite Studios, and we're, because we had these incredible, you know, this mashup of my life of film and television and veterinary medicine, we had an in-house amazing video, animation, music, sound crew already, and so we've basically taken what we were able to do for Ignite and still do for Ignite and make a new division where we're doing that for pharma and anyone, you know, others. We've created some incredible certificate programs for Care Credit and Parnell and a bunch of different people right now. And so we're just have split ourselves out, but it's so much fun, Adam. I mean, you know how it is when you're like, it's just not work.
Yes.
You know, it's so exciting and so fun to see, to help people by giving them a tool that they'll have for the rest of their lives. That's just excites me every day.
Love it. Well, you're doing great work as always. And thank you for all the work that you've done and Navert. And we're excited to see what lies ahead for them. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. You've always been a champion of me and my companies and the associations. And we couldn't do it without people like you, Adam.
Oh, thank you. Well, listen, I mean, even to listeners, it's veterinary professionals supporting veterinary professionals. And we need to do more of that in this profession. We really do. There's so much great space for everyone to play in and to elevate the profession for the greater good of our clients and for the animals that we serve. And this is what it is. I think collaboration is what elevates this profession. And this is how it starts with what we're doing. So thank you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for tuning in to the Vet Blast podcast, everyone. Don't forget to rate this wonderful podcast. Somebody called the billboard. I think we just dropped a hit. And we'll see you next time on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.